Appreciate your being here, and we're going to be talking today about the subject of adorning the doctrine of God. Adorning the gospel of God, the doctrine of God. There's a passage that mentions this in Titus chapter 2, if you'd look at that quite briefly this morning. Chapter 2 and verse 10, he talks about not pilfering, not stealing, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now talk about adorning. I want you to know that every lady here this morning has adorned herself getting ready to come here. That is, you put on things to make you look better. You try to have some kind of dress or makeup or the way you fix your hair because you want to adorn yourself. Some of us men have a little bit more trouble doing that, but at least we think about that. But there's a spiritual application of this as we look about how we adorn the doctrine of God. When you look at the principle of that, we look at the language of adorning. It means to put in proper order, to decorate, and that's either literal or figuratively, according to Strong's dictionary. Another, according to Vine, is to arrange, to put in order, to adorn, to ornament, to garnish. And Vine was, a Greek scholar. Now, Thayer was another one. He said, metaphorically, to embellish with honor and gain honor. And that, I think, is really what Titus 2 is talking about. The idea of letting something within you where you have faith in God, that this will shine through you so that people see the goodness of being a Christian. And as you adorn it, you don't want to come up here, ladies, with your makeup smeared, all your lipstick all over your chin. You wouldn't adorn yourself like that. And the reason why is because you want to look as good as you can. And that's fine. We appreciate that. But at the same time, there is the sense in which we do that spiritually. And I hope we can get that point across this morning. Adorn, according to the Oxford Dictionary, says make more beautiful or attractive, to add to the beauty or splendor of attractiveness. And that's what Titus is saying about the gospel and the doctrine of Christ, that the way we live is going to make further improvements to the fact that people see Christ living in us. If people cannot see Christ living in you, at your work, in your home, at school, or wherever it may be, then you're not adorning the doctrine of Christ. And in Matthew 23, Jesus condemned the Pharisees because they would adorn the tombs, but inward they were full of dead men's bones. That is, the Pharisees did not have a good reflection of the God of Israel because of the way they lived. And we would adorn buildings as well. Again, when you look at that, what we're seeking to adorn is the doctrine of God, whatever God teaches. And this is not just esoteric. This is something that we actually can do. It's not just figurative in a sense, but you can literally adorn the doctrine of Christ by the way you live, by the way you think, what you do. We need to recognize that as well. And so let's turn back to Titus chapter 2, and it tells us somewhat how to do that in Titus 2, beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So there's some things you don't do, and there's some things that you do in order to make it what he was saying in verse 10. And in chapter 1 and in verse 9, the writer said, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. That is, holding fast, that you are an example of what it means to be a Christian. So if you're staying home on Sunday night to watch television, oh yes, the Cowboys are going to play today, and other teams after that. But that doesn't mean anything if it means you want to worship God first. I deliberately use the word worship at the Lord's table this morning because what we do with the Lord's table is an act of worship. And when you're present And when you participate in that, you're proclaiming the death of Christ until he comes again. That's adornment of the doctrine of Christ. You're showing by your presence. You're showing by your faithfulness and your dedication that that's true. And the truth which accords godliness, in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. And so when your teaching and your practice is the same, that's what we're talking about. When you look at the Bible and you read the scriptures and you understand that, and as we talked in class this morning, it transforms you into what God would have you to be, then you're adorning the doctrine of God. And it's called sound doctrine in chapter 2 and in verse 1. But as for you, Titus said, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. So as you understand the truth and your words are scriptural, when you talk about the church, when you talk about our worship, when you talk about other Christians, when you recognize that you're saying the things that enhance the church, please don't talk about Northside as they. We're not they, we're us. See, there's a difference. If you think in terms of what they do, then you're not thinking of yourself as a partner, as a fellowship in this. So sometimes even the pronouns that we use determine some things. You know, even when Paul was writing, you could tell when Timothy was with him and not, because Timothy in his writing would say we when he was with Paul, and he would say they when he was not with Paul. Well, that's the same attitude that we have as Christians and members of the Lord's body. We are together. We're one body, and we have fellowship together. Please don't underestimate that, and to recognize that the more you're involved in the work of a congregation, the more you're going to adorn the doctrine, because people are going to see that. People are going to understand when they see that you're living a certain way that encourages that. And so there's a negative way that we do not live, and Titus talks about that as well, with regard that you can't adorn the doctrine of Christ if you're a false teacher. In chapter 1, beginning of verse 9, he says, holding fast the word as has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. And folks, they're going to be contradictors. You can be assured of that. There are people that hate the church of Christ. There are people in America now that hate Christians. In fact, in the bulletin recently, I've been putting some information about different parties in the politics that look to the unrighteous people to be their political partners. They're looking forward to unrighteous people because they don't want righteous people to be involved in it. And I saw something this morning that just, I can't understand it. I can't take it in. There was an abortion doctor that died yesterday. They found in his house over 2,200 baby parts. Just let that soak in. How's that possible? How can be somebody so depraved? I'm happy to say he wasn't a member of the church, because he wouldn't be adorning the gospel. He wouldn't be adorning the church. He wouldn't be adorning God. And to think that he woke up in the presence of God today. I wouldn't trade places with him for anything on the face of the earth and everything on the face of the earth. There's negative stuff that we need to understand. Then in verse 16, he said, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. There are people like that in the world today. They're never going to be Christians. They're never going to be concerned about the reputation of the church. And in chapter 3, it's added to that, beginning of verse 9. exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. I remember one of the New Testament books, Philemon, has to do with a runaway slave. Evidently, this runaway slave disobeyed this because he stole something when he left, and he went to Rome. Well, in prison, he found Paul, and Paul converted him to Christ, and he wrote back to Philemon and said, if he stole anything, I'll repay you. But he came back as a transformed person. He came back as a member of the body of Christ. See what a change it makes. And he was staying even, and I know slavery has been a horrible situation through the years, and it's still practiced by many in the world today. Slavery is bad in any way you look at it. But at the same time, if you are a slave or a slave master back in those days, you use that position to prove how good it was to be a Christian. You lived for the Lord in those situations. He even talked about older women and how they were to adorn that. In chapter 2, beginning of verse 3, Titus said, the elder women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so the opposite of adorning is blaspheming, very clearly put in this particular passage. And you just don't do the things that are condemned by Titus and the Holy Spirit in these things, but you look to the younger women and be a good influence for them. In chapter 2, beginning of verse 6, he talks about young men. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. You cannot be corrupted. Oh, how many politicians have been arrested for bribery because they will take money. You know, people go into politics now as normal citizens and come out millionaires. There are many, many politicians that are millionaires. How'd they get that money? Well, not on their salary. They get it because they've been bribed in many occasions. Somebody comes and wants them to vote for a particular bill. I'll pay you if you vote with me. Well, that's corruption. And that's young men, don't be living that way. And then in Romans chapter 2, the Jews did not live right in some cases. You remember chapter 1 of the book of Romans condemned the Gentiles and their lifestyle. Now in chapter 2 it condemned the Jews. And beginning in verse 17, he said, indeed you're called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and the truth. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? And so they claimed to be Jews. They rested on the law. They claimed to have a descendancy from Abraham, but they didn't live like Abraham did. And so here's the fact that many, many times those who claim to be God's children do not adorn the doctrine by the life that they live. And we have to recognize that. In the positive view, he said again with bondservants that they would act in such a way, verses 9 through 10, that they would adorn the doctrine of God. That is, they would treat people under their authority with tenderness and kindness and fairness. And we should do the same thing if we're in a position as a boss in a company or something like that. In chapter 1 and verse 12, he talked about the Cretans and their reputation as liars. Well, Christians shouldn't be liars. My word should be as good as my bond. When I agree to something and shake hands on it, that's what I intend to do. And when you have that reputation, you're adorning the doctrine. You're not only talking the talk, but you're walking the walk in modern vernacular. That's the way people talk about it. And if you're going to be a child of God, do it. Live according to the Scriptures and adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that His disciples will be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And by doing that, as people see you, salt is the preservative, and Christians, like Abraham was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, if he could have found 5 righteous souls, they would have been spared, but they weren't there. There were not that many righteous souls in all the cities of the plain. And we're to be the light of the world. Now that light is not something that comes from me as myself. It's as the light of the gospel shines through me. Folks, if I got up here and preached error, I would not be adorning the doctrine. When preachers around the world preach error, though they claim to be Christians, they're not adorning the gospel by a false teaching, and we need to understand that. And there's a really good passage in Romans chapter 12 that I want to bring to your attention. I've preached on this on a number of occasions because it is so very important to recognize. The Apostle Paul is saying in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now listen to this, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is, here's the doctrine of Christ. And we talk about how good it is, how complete it is, how much it changes us. Well, if I live by it, I will prove that the doctrine is what it says to be. Now then, if I have a hypocritical life, I'm not proving that it's God's will and that it's good for all mankind. And so when he said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, it says that the perfect will of God is good and acceptable. And when I'm transformed and live like that, my life adorns the gospel. That is, people look at me and the way that I live, and to some degree they see Christ in me. And that's what it ought to be for all of us. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 to the Corinthians, you are my epistle. I taught you, I converted you, you were baptized into Christ. And now then, it's not a written tablet. The Christians at Corinth were his epistle, proving Romans 12, 1 and 2. The fact that, I believe 1 Corinthians 6 that was mentioned in class this morning, where Paul said, such were some of you, adulterers, fornicators, liars, thieves, all these kinds, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so yes, it's possible to come from a background of sinful living. It's possible to recognize that in the past you believed false doctrine. But you have a choice. And when people, well, let's put it this way. What are going to people put on your tombstone? Have you ever thought about it? What are you going to put on your tombstone? I saw one where it said, I told you I was sick. but that's not really the thing that you want on your tombstone. If somebody said he or she was a faithful Christian, isn't that enough? That's all we live for, to be able to do something like that. And so we become an epistle of Christ. People can read us and understand that. So the application is that we make godly homes, the way the Bible says it. Now these are familiar scriptures. I'm not going to linger over them. But in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands are to love their wives as themselves, and they are to be willing to die for them if that's what is necessary. Parents in Ephesians 6 and verse 4 to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Proverbs 13 also says the same thing about children and their parents. It speaks of the fact that if parents don't discipline their children, then they're not doing what they ought to do. And children need discipline. And the word discipline doesn't necessarily mean a beating. What it means is training. You train them in the way they ought to go. I'm not against corporal punishment. I think sometimes it's needed. But at the same time, view discipline as training. And that's what we're supposed to do with our families and ourselves. And so, in Proverbs chapter 1, the wise man urged children to live to listen to their fathers, that they'd be able to understand what life is all about. And then he said, let no one despise your youth, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy has a great deal about him in the Bible. And Paul sent him to Ephesus where they had elders, which would be older men. And yet he said, don't let them despise your youth because you're going to tell them the truth. And that's the way it ought to be. When you cultivate your knowledge of Christ, young people can be a good influence for the church as they teach the truth and have clean ways. This is so important. I don't know whether I'll even tell you this or not. There was a member of the church at Westside in Fort Worth many years ago. He's not there now and hadn't been there for a long time. He was a married man, but I happened to be in a drugstore, and he came out carrying a package of condoms, and it wasn't for his wife. And I thought, and he quit the church because he saw me seeing him. He recognized he couldn't be a hypocrite any longer. I saw one of the ladies at Woodmont. I went into the grocery store, and she was at one of the kiosks, and she was really doing something. And I looked over her shoulder, and she was scratching a lotto card or some kind of one of those gambling things. And I stood there till she looked at me, and I said, we don't practice gambling. And I don't know whether she ever changed or not, but she kept coming to worship. You see, what do people see you do? I was at Steak and Ale one time with the family. And there was another member of the church, he and his wife, sitting there drinking hard wine. And he saw me looking at him. And he told me later he felt so ashamed. And he came before the church and asked for repentance. Said he was repenting for doing that. But you are a light to the world. And people see what you do. When you use curse words. When you tell dirty jokes. When you go to places that are not right. There's no way in the world you can adorn the doctrine of Christ. And Christ will be ashamed of you if those things are the way that you live your life. And so we need to understand that that's not what we do. And then Psalms talks about gaining wisdom. It's so important to gain wisdom. We've talked about the difference in knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the understanding of certain facts. But wisdom is how you put them together in the right kind of way to do what's right. And Christians are to become wise. We talked again in class this morning about the fact that some were ignorant in their old way of life. But you can't stay ignorant if you want to be a Christian, if you want to go to heaven. So we have to keep learning and doing those things. And so he said also, work as to the Lord. And when he said that, he was talking to bond servants or slaves. And yes, that was the condition that some Christians were living. But he said, use your place as a place of service. You don't talk nasty about your boss, your master. You work for them as though you were working for the Lord. Now, we don't have that situation in America today. It's a dismal past where that was true. But think about your boss. Do you talk about your boss behind your back? When the boss is off on vacation, do you miss out on hours on purpose? And the idea is that even though the boss is not there, You work for your boss as though he were the Lord. And nobody can find fault with that, and so you adorn the fact that you're a Christian. You adorn those things in order to be that. And even with regard to the masters, he talked about them as well. And they had people that owned slaves, like Philemon back in those days, and Philemon was a Christian. And he was told to treat this brother as he was a brother in Christ, that you may adorn the doctrine of God in all things. That's our passage this morning, Titus 2, 9 through 10. And so we're asking you this morning, even as you got up this morning, your hair was tousled and you didn't have makeup on and you wanted to comb your hair, make yourself look presentable. Make that spiritual application. Look inward at your life. Look inward at who you are. And ask yourself the question, do I adorn the doctrine of Christ? Am I true a Christian? Am I sincere? Is my life known to everybody because I always live the life that I should? And when you do, you're adorning the gospel and the doctrine of Christ. And the point of all that is you're going to go to heaven for it. God will like the way you look because you're showing Christ in your life. So if you're present this morning and you haven't yet